No. Yo.
Are we recording?
We're after talking.
We're talking after.
We're talking after the fact.
Man, you know, as long as we're after talking, then I can confess that I'm frustrated by these chargers for my Vive.
Oh, really?
Joysticks, yeah.
Are they...
Well, they I don't know if it's the plug that I'm plugging them into or what. I guess here, yeah. we don't, there's no video on this, right?
Right.
Yeah, I got that, a solution.
Sure. That thing you've got them hooked into is like not great for big charge.
Yeah,
bricks.
It doesn't bite in, right?
Right.
It's like a...
We have that with, because we have the same ones in the warehouse. So when we charge stuff in there for the cameras and stuff, it's weird.
So can we talk around, let's say hypothetically.
Okay.
Say hypothetically, it looked like we'd be building some kind of podcast studio space in Austin, Texas.
Sure.
Would we want it to be something that we would rent out to other people, or would we want it to be sort of a community driven, you got to be a cool person and just show up and use it for free? Or
I think in both cases it requires a person dedicated to the facility.
Oh, that's right. We did talk about this, and I don't know how much
I did
time.
Not talk about this with you.
Oh, okay.
But I've been thinking about that, because I guess the idea of having it be community available, it would need someone whose job was to take care of the building and be there for this sort of stuff. You know, it's one thing if like, oh, you know, people can rent out the studio and rent my time to produce something, and then someone will be there. But there's got to be someone to let people in and deal with problems and stuff.
Well, and somebody to act as a guardian at the gate, yeah. Right? To make sure everything's... But also like a concierge, somebody to take care of them, because you're going to get people who by their very nature are like, oh, I've been told I should have a podcast. Well, I don't want to learn all the tech stuff on my own. I just want to show up and talk and know that somebody can take care of all that stuff.
Yeah. Which I think sounds like the business model that... Grant's recording studio is Grant from the Beerists.
Grant Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he was doing that.
Is it called Hit Record, I think?
Oh.
Something like that. He's got a little, I think that he works there. I don't know if he's an owner, but I see it on his Instagram.
And I know
all the time.
Also, like, there's Capital Factory in Austin, Texas,
okay.
That incubator.
Sure.
Like, they've got
it's like a WeWork sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, but also, like, I think it's Capital Factory. It might be, I forget the name of the nonprofit that's dedicated to fostering media creators. But basically, if you're a legit, you know, anyone, if you could point to what you're doing, you could sign up and go to it. Weirdly for us, like, their strength is that they're downtown, which is where everybody is.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we would attract a lot of people out to West Austin.
Yeah.
Although it would be less West Austin than this spare bedroom that we're in right now.
I mean, marginally less.
I would say substantially. It's a good five, 6 miles less.
I haven't been out that way, but you made it sound like it's also off the freeway quite a bit.
Yeah, it's okay. You know where the existing warehouse is, right?
Yeah. It's past the stunt ranch, right?
No. No. The warehouse is before Stunt Ranch. But you know how you get to that one road that Stunt Ranch is on and then go a bit up?
Yeah.
Imagine going that much up on the road that the warehouse is on.
Okay.
But keep in mind that road that the warehouse is on has the entrance that the warehouse is at, but then way before it. So you would go like that.
Sure.
So I would say that if it's a...
You're still getting out of the city.
If this house is 22 minutes from... the airport, the other place would be
19, 18,
yeah, maybe 17 if we're lucky.
Yeah. And that's 4 a.m. trying to hit that red eye.
Did I tell you the idea of, you know, it's way too early to be talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
But as long as we are, because it's after talk, we got to reward the patrons.
Yeah.
Did I talk about on Night Attack the idea of the eclipse?
I think so. I've heard this idea.
Okay. But the idea of, I mean...
No, I'm sure we did, because I remember looking up the eclipse time.
April 8th.
Yeah.
April 8th, 2024.
Of having a big event at the place for the eclipse, because the eclipse will come over
Austin. Like a giant family reunion? That'd be pretty dope.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. I like the idea of a large facility for all of the stuff. There are a lot of things when I'm perfectly happy with what we're doing today. But there are a lot of things when you're like, what if it wasn't here? That you're like, oh.
You start to think like, man, there is a lot that can happen. Yeah.
Well, it's like, what if there weren't dogs barking?
I know. And what if there weren't kids screaming? What if there weren't? Well, and it's one of those things that it's changed because, you know, 8 years ago, this was a side hobby. It was an experiment, you know, and it made sense. And the only people that would come over would be friends and they wouldn't care about dogs or kids or whatever. But now, as we get closer and closer to being dangerously professional and you feel the community wanting it to be something bigger than it is right now. You know? And I want to make that happen.
Yeah. My stance is that it'd be great. It'd be great to have new space and all that stuff and hopefully new equipment. I was also thinking a lot of the stuff that we want to do more than having a new space will be having more equipment to go along with it. Cause I think there's a lot of stuff we can do now that we could, there's probably a few things we could do in a bigger or a different space, but I think a lot of those also will require some equipment outlays.
Yeah.
Just in terms of spaces and things.
Sure. Well, and here's a fun fact I discovered.
Yeah.
Podcasting equipment used to sound expensive. And then I started looking at real estate. And sure. All of a sudden, it seems like, yeah, sure, that's fine. Yeah, we'll get new equipment. but I love the idea, man. I keep thinking about how often people come through Austin. And not only the idea of being able to give Tom an Austin-based studio. And we talked about this on Night Attack. Like, Justin was saying, imagine how often I'm here in Austin and imagine how much more often I could be in Austin if there was not only a studio that I could work out of, but also like a house and 7 acres. There's we'll talk about what it will look like. I'm sure, look, everyone's going to get super bored of this over the next 10 years, but like we're talking, you know, tiny houses and bungalows and whatnot, like podcasters coming in, staying on campus, we can call it, and using the facilities. And
that would be great. More, I think that would still are great idea and would also underline the need for a facilities person.
Yeah.
To handle, deal with any Airbnb people or venue people.
Oh my God, you just made a nutty idea pop into my mind. What about somebody who lived on campus who, you know, his job was to keep eyes on all that stuff?
Yeah, I bet you could find a person to want to do that.
You're like, if you're about to say it's me, the answer is no, Brian.
part of this, I think so much of what we've been talking about in front of everybody has been like a ton of new space, a lot of new opportunities. So
there really is. There's two sides of the game. There's the someday part of it. And that's what we like about this opportunity is that the someday opportunities are huge. Right. Yeah. And then there's the 3 months from now when our lease is up opportunities.
Yeah.
And our 3 months from now when our lease is up opportunities, everything about all of our operations are going to look a little bit hilarious for a while. Like,
hilarious is a word.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be kind of adorable.
Well, and even beyond that, the other big thing that we've been talking about is like, okay, it'll be great to have everyone in the same place a lot more often. And I'm sure that at some point you and I talked about like, oh, what if you had a office to work out of, basically?
Yeah.
And I think that's something I am certainly open to it. I don't think I've given myself time to think about what that looks like because right now I'm working out of the home 60 to 70% of the week.
I've been thinking about this because I was thinking like, well, what does that mean working out of an office? And I realized I don't think that means I want to work in an office that's not inside this house forever or all the time. But I do think that I really like the ideas of us declaring and keeping office hours. I think about university professors that were doing whatever they do most of the time, but you could reliably know that Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 till noon, they were available at this time, at this place or whatever. So I don't know what that would look like for our operation.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of increasing the ease with which we have those organic encountering each other and coming up with spontaneous ideas.
Yeah. I think that's kind of just getting to what I'm trying to say is that's the factor that we haven't talked so much about because it's not a public thing. People don't need to know what our schedules are like. And you know, we only get together every so often and we're kind of in the big swell right now of all the things that can be. And I think more than whatever, I'm trying not to be, blasé about it. Cause I think it's great. I also just like, I'm trying to like, oh, well, what does that look like for me specifically?
I think you are logistically the farthest away from all of us. So it might make sense for you to not be there as often as everybody else.
Well, and it's, I think that's part of it though. You know, at my last job, I had a similar commute, right? And if it's a thing where you're making your own hours and can be very similar to now where it's out of rush hour and I'm not even worried about traffic. But just like getting in the headspace of like having an office that look, hey, I was working in an office for a few years and then stopped working in an office for even longer. So trying to see what that looks like in a world where I already don't work normally hours, right? Mondays and Tuesdays, I'm working late on this stuff.
Right.
Then Wednesday, I'm hammering on scam school or ads or stuff. But then Thursdays and Fridays, we have shoots. And so I'm just trying to think of like what it even could look like. Because if we're
playing Let's Pretend,
sure.
Then here's what I think it could look like is it begins with we secure the property and there's going to be some amount of time because it's a building project. Hmm. I know, I'm going to be around a lot, right? Yeah. Trying to, even if it's with a chainsaw in my hand, cutting down cedar trees because seriously, screw cedar trees, right? But then on top of that, I now add to my schedule office hours. Here's the other thing is, I don't know if we've talked about this. I'm about to get my daytimes back because I've been a stay-at-home dad essentially for the last year and a half as Bonnie has rebooted her art career, which meant that she's been leaning on me to handle more of the shuttling kids around or whatever.
Yeah.
Our five-year-old is about to go into school, so I don't have to worry about driving her or being around for her in the mornings. So that means two of the kids will be at school all day. And then Penny apparently will have a lot more school. And Bonnie was even saying like, yeah, I could take Penny and it's no big deal. And all of a sudden I'm like, I get my days back. Like I can work my email box. I can finally get down to inbox zero. It's going to happen. So, but if I'm going to do that, I want to do that, future minded and future focused and hold office hours that I can. So many people are asking me to appear on their podcast and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And here's a side effect is nowadays I can't. Realistically, maybe if there's $1 million on the line, I could figure it out. But if I just wanted to open a pack of playing cards in Hearthstone, I would not walk in here and there's no easy switch to flip to make that turn on. And I feel like having a space where I can walk in and know that I just press one button and it's on or whatever.
Just on like just to play for yourself or to like stream
or they're just being either you or Brant or once he's trained Jacob or even David or like I feel like we'll just have a more diverse group of talent that I can lean on to do the technical stuff that I have unfortunately consciously let atrophy as I focus more on the content creation stuff. So, having tech people around or whatever.
You have IT around for you. That's constantly.
I get to be an old man. I'm like, make the Wi-Fi go.
That's going to be great. I love going into 9 to 5 to be your IT.
It won't be 9 to 5 and hopefully it won't be like that. But I'll tell you what, man. I got a panicked tweet from somebody saying, like,
I can't believe you, like,
gave credence to that tweet.
Yeah, like, you had to do that right. Because it was, because this was right before the show started. Like, it was Chris and me here in the studio.
Yes.
And you guys, you went away for
a
bit.
It was poorly timed.
And we were like, and then you
where's Brian? It's time for the show to start. And then Brian's like, anyway, I'm checking to see if there's gigabit available at the facility. It was
why? Oh, because someone said they don't sometimes.
It was one of those things where it looked on paper when I picked up the phone, like, you know, it's like the beginning of The Incredibles. I'm like, I got time. And then at some point it became clear, I don't have time. I'm like, yeah, yep. So you got it? You got it? Good. All right, bye. I gotta go.
The urgency bit is funny to me. Like, if you called them up and they're like, no, we don't, like, would you have canceled, done anything different? Yeah, would you have canceled the order, the sale?
You know what? That's okay. That's a good way to put it, because it wasn't so much about that I thought the answer was, it wasn't like I thought there was no way to deal with it, right? Austin is increasingly becoming wired, but I don't think psychologically I could handle that open box. Somebody opened the box and I realized it's all I'm going to think about. It's all I'm going to think about during Cord Killers, during Spoiler in Time, during After Talk. And it's like, I do not want even 15% of my brain obsessing about that. So it was one of those things where it's like, I got to close this box. I got to close this box so I can focus on the show. And I called, and to my satisfaction, I was guaranteed that the worst possible scenario is 100 megabits or 200 megabits once they upgrade, which apparently is a nationwide rollout, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
audio listeners can just guess what I said.
Allegedly, we're looking at gigabit fiber speeds there. So
there's okay. It'll be interesting, man.
There's going to be no shortage of conversations like these, but I'm glad that we were able to have this one before Tom came back.
Oh, God. No, now you get to have it all over again in 2 weeks.
And the week after that. And anyway, thank you so much, fabulous patrons. Hope you enjoyed this authentic behind-the-scenes conversation about a thing that may or may not be talked about on Night Attack tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.